Why start now?
I wasn't actually going to do this. I was actually just going to do a straight opening after we tried doing a silly opening, and then it failed.
Because... But then I thought, no, you know what? Marv was onto something there. Well, so
let's
I'll keep
talk
the
about what's happened.
Up.
Where's it gone?
Where's what gone?
The broken microphone. Where's it gone?
It's here. There you go.
So we should say a few words.
Bye.
No, Ben. This is a Shure PG-58. Not quite as good as the Shure SM-38, which is the microphone that most bands use live on stage, Ben, because it'll take a good old whacking, you know, when the lead singer's headbutting it, and it'll still work. You can sweat on it, you can drink on it, you can put it between your toes, and it'll still work
fine. It has been the microphone of the station now for 7 years.
Well, I can't remember exactly when we bought it, so it's a long time ago. But, ladies and gentlemen, the PG-58, or as we call him, Peter Griffin 58, has sadly passed. It's the first major loss of 2017, as far as the radio station
is concerned. Yeah, I was going to say, there's been a couple more.
Yeah, as far as the radio station is concerned, you know, Stevie D and Doe haven't gone yet, so this is the first major loss.
They didn't send a show last week.
Well, we're in contract disputes, Ben, as you know, so... You know, they've been reading a lot of the stuff on the BBC gossip pages about Gaston Ramirez trying to get away from Middlesbrough and thinking, maybe I could do a bit of this contract negotiation stuff.
Marv,
yes,
I've got
Ben.
A question. Mm. Did someone poo in your lift?
Well, thank you for asking, Ben. It's a strange way to ask me how my week's been, but I'll tell you. First couple of days, Ben, pretty solid. Went to the big city. Went to London. Of course, whenever I say city, I do miss out the T and put a D in place. I'm not just being weird just for that. Oh, no, I am being weird. But yeah, then that was fine. I had some nice food and drinks with some nice friends. I did some good work. Good old-fashioned work, Ben. Came back on Wednesday. Strange old smell in the lift, I thought myself, on the way upstairs. Pretty strong. Thought myself, it's quite rich that the owners of this place keep putting up notices saying how bad residents we are for doing certain things. And yeah, I can't really... Yeah, that is a strong smell of poo, I thought myself. And while I think about it, there's been a vomit stain on the third floor stairway for about 2 weeks. And since then, there's also appeared like what I can only describe as like someone having sneezed without covering their mouth near the lift button, Ben. I don't know if you've seen it on the ground floor. It's not on the lift button.
I was going to say.
It's near it. So you can still safely press the button, Ben, and someone's going, sure. Anyway, Thursday, Ben, pretty good, solid day again. Came back from work again. Still a faint smell in the lift, Ben, and someone's added a note saying, whoever's pooed in the lift.
Stop it.
It's a dirty so-and-so. It was to the point, Ben. It was accurate. It was deliberate. I appreciate who did it. They'd written it in pencil on paper, which made me think this has just happened. Someone didn't come to the lift with a piece of paper written note. They came to the lift with some paper and with a pencil, and they just riffed it on the spot. And they wrote in capital letters, which I liked about it, because that meant they meant it. This wasn't just free verse, Ben. They were saying, whoever did this in the lift, you're a dirty, dirty person. Anyway, came back on Friday for more lift action, Ben, obviously, because by then it's still happening. It still smells of poo. It's amazing. Still smells of poo, Ben. But also, the amazing thing about this is that all week, the poo has not been seen. Right? It's like a classic mystery, Ben. I mean, well, I assume what's happened, Ben, this is how I assume it's worked, is that someone, having taken their dog out, and you said you saw a dog in the building.
I did see a dog.
Someone's taken their dog out. I'm not saying it's that person, that dog, but the dog's gone out. They've defecated, Ben. And what do people do when the dog's defecating the street?
They pick it up.
Put it in a bag.
Yes.
Yeah, put it in a bag. I can only assume that somehow, whilst in the lift, maybe the person was juggling things whilst trying to put stuff in their bag, and it's looped up over their head and gone into the light barrier, which means it's warmed through the week, Ben, which means it's never been seen, but always known it's there. But, Ben... Look what's happened today. Now, without giving away where I live, Ben.
Oh, my.
How about you tell people what this is?
Revolution.
That's right, it's a revolution.
With effect from such a date, you've got a new property management company, Marv.
Right.
This is exciting, isn't
this
it?
This is what happens when you poo in a lift, Ben.
Wow, we warmly welcome you to the Revolution family. What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, they've welcomed you to a family.
Turn it over, Ben. So without my knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, Urban Bubble no longer...
Urban Bubble? people.
That was what they were called. No longer manage the property of this building. It's now someone called Ben.
Revolution.
So say it like you mean it. Come on.
Revolution.
There you go.
Are you going to play the Beatles then now? Is that what you're going to... Oh, okay. Yeah, so well done, Malf. That's a good effort.
Thanks very much. I don't think I really deserve congratulations. No.
And you've got a new cleaning team as well.
That's the interesting point, Ben.
I'm assuming they're going to put notes in the lift too, saying, all clear, well done, residents.
It gives me a new management agency to write my sarcastic emails to. That's all I'm fussed about. That's the great news of that. But Ben, let me ask you. Before we go any further... How's your week been?
Well, Marv, I've had an action-packed week this week. It all started off with Salford City last Saturday.
Did not go well.
It didn't go well, but we got to the ground at about, 7:30 in the morning or something daft. Rob Brady, name from the past, decided he was going to put an event on which was all about love and rubbing things red. And he named it after a train time, the 11:22 from Manchester, he called it.
All right.
And he described it as a picket line you wouldn't like to cross. And he was right. There was loads of people there who I wouldn't mess with.
E.g.?
Well, Swampy was there.
I'd mess with Swampy.
Well, that's it. And you know, a guy was talking and he said, it's been a long time since I've been to Broadhurst Park. I had no idea that Swampy had got his peerage because he was wearing all his Nigel Farage gear. You ever seen
for a second there, I was really concerned you were going to make an incredibly sexist joke and say Swampy's got his period. I didn't know where you were going with that.
No.
I was about to stop recording.
So there was all this talk...
Peerage, ladies and gentlemen, peerage.
There was all this talk about positivity and moving forward. It's great, and it's recorded. You can hear it on the podcast channel now at 11:22 for Manchester. It should have been the 11:52, though, because that would have been... the same train time that I normally get when I go to Broadhurst
Park. I don't think it's
Park.
For you, Ben. I don't think it's designed anyway, specifically for you.
Then they interviewed a band called Cabbage. That was good. Cabbage, a fine, upstanding band from Mosler.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then they interviewed a charity called the Hummingbird Project from Buxton, who were lovely. Then we watched...
Is that Pam?
Pam from the Hummingbird Project, yes, well done.
She sounded lovely.
Absolutely inspiring. And then we watched the match, and that was uninspiring, Marv. It was like two sides of a coin. One side was really, really shiny. The other coin was really disappointing.
Like Batman. Like in Batman.
Two-Face.
Yeah, like the Two-Face coin.
Yeah, yeah.
Like one side's burnt and one side's fine because his girlfriend got set on fire.
That's the one.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember,
great. Anything else?
Stuff happened. Right, one of the things, though, that happened on Sunday, which I need to bring to your attention, Marv, was I watched the women's team match. I went to Woodley Sports. It's kind of called Stockport Sports Village.
Lovely.
Which is very hard to say.
Stockport Sports Village.
Mm-hmm. Very hard to say. How best would it be to send you something over the internet just now?
Through an email. While you're doing that, let me play you a little jingle that I've been working on.
Because you've been busy, haven't you?
After the story that you were telling, or you made me tell at the start of the the show, I thought, what actually about pooing in the lift could I introduce into the show? And I thought that pooing in the lift sounds like a bit of a euphemism about embarrassing yourself or making a bit of a scene of yourself, yeah?
Yes.
So in work, someone was telling a story about how they embarrassed themselves the other day, and I said, oh, what did you do, poo in a lift? Hey! Right, and because I cheered after it, I got a laugh, right?
Yeah.
So I thought... a good way for me to introduce you to talk about something satirical and ridiculous from the press this week, which basically we're now going to have
forever.
For the next eight years at least.
I've got loads of things.
We're going to be fine for this.
Yes.
We're going to do a feature called Who's Poo in the Lift? And you're going to talk about someone, probably Donald Trump.
It's not this week.
All right.
I'm going to go with May, I think.
So I'll sing it first time round and then you join in. You'll get the idea. It's pretty easy, Ben. Ready?
Okay, yes.
All right, here we go. Who's poo in the lift? It's who's poo in the lift? It's who's poo in the lift? Let's find out now, Ben. That's it.
Okay.
Well, what do you think?
It's good.
So it's who's poo in the lift?
Yes.
Who's poo in the lift?
Yes.
Who's poo in the lift? Let's find out now, Ben.
I'm going to go. There's so many to choose from.
So let's sing it together because then I'll have a proper jingle from now on. We don't have to do this every week.
I like the fact you having to do it every week, because then I could change it up a bit, can't I?
Just sing it with me, all right? Just one of us singing it's ridiculous.
Why?
Come on, who's pooing the lift? Who's pooing the lift? Yes, who's pooing the lift? Yes, who's pooing the lift? Let's find out now, Ben.
So you want me to say
now
my
you just
name?
Go straight into it.
Okay.
So Marv, so and so's pooed in the week in the lift this week, Marv.
Can we go? I can't keep that going. There was that woman, wasn't there, the press officer that Trump's got, who basically...
Did she poo in a lift?
Well, she came up with
why it. Do people do it, though? I know we're having a laugh about it, but why did someone do it in a lift, Ben? It doesn't make any sense if you think about it. We live in a block of flats.
Well, to be fair, I'm from Salford. I'm sure many people pooed in the lifts in Salford. So, anyway, there was that woman, wasn't there, who came up with that terrorist attack that never actually happened.
What's this now?
The bowling, you know, she said she used a country, two people from a country that Trump's just banned migrants coming from and refugees coming from, and said, you know, no, the press never covered the Bowling Green massacre. And everyone went, what's the Bowling Green massacre? And apparently it doesn't actually exist. She made it up.
Wow.
Yeah. Look it up. It's amazing. And proper straight-faced. Taking alternative facts to a whole new level.
This is like the audio version of the signing person at Mandela's funeral.
Mm.
It's essentially what
proper
that is.
Proper freestyling.
Yeah, just absolute straight face just going for it.
Then there was...
Yeah, yeah, the Green Bowl massacre. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Massacre. I was there. Got out alive. Woo.
And I thought, do you have bowling greens in America? That's a British thing, isn't it? Really? Maybe Canada.
I assume they must be there.
Maybe Canada have them.
Canada, of course.
But I don't think... The Americans don't do crown green bowls, do they?
No, we have to go to Canada to do that.
I don't know what that accent is, Marv. No. You've been watching Fargo. Anyway.
So what was her name?
I can't remember her name. But she was the one who came up with the phrase alternative facts. And that in itself might be an alternative fact. She probably didn't. Then there was...
That's Sagan.
What?
That's complex. She came up with alternate facts. The phrase alternative facts,
yes,
which may in itself be an alternative fact. I mean, Ben.
That's a fact within a fact.
Oh, it's a...
Anyway, and then there's David Davis, Marv, and he said in his little speech this week that Britain's best days are ahead of us. And that got me thinking, Marv. I thought, I don't think that's actually true anymore. And therefore, when was the peak of Britain's best days? And then I thought to myself, you know when it was? I think it was... Danny Boyle's opening ceremony of the Olympics. I think that might have been the peak.
For Britain?
Yes. Because that kind of looked back at everything that we'd ever done.
I think, Ben, you have to go further back than that. I think you have to go to the Battle of Hastings. I think
that
was
England.
Probably... Oh, good
in
point.
In fact, it wasn't even England, was it? It was like Anglia.
What about Linford Christie? Before...
David Coleman's Barcelona commentary.
That one. Yeah. That moment... Peak.
So that got me thinking. I thought that probably was the peak.
I watched this week Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit, Ben, the most recent Jack Ryan film.
Is it good?
It's all right. It's watchable. It's about as watchable, slightly more watchable than Olympus Has Fallen. It's that kind of category of film. It's got Chris Pine.
You know, I watched Olympus...
You know Chris Pine, of course?
Yeah, from Star Trek. Yeah. I watched Olympus Has Fallen coming back from Whitby on a midweek game.
Have you seen the sequel yet?
I had a banging headache.
Have you seen the sequel yet?
It was a horrible trip.
Have you seen the sequel yet?
No.
Hilarious.
London Has Fallen
because it's Americans portraying what Britons are like. Amazing! All right. Anyway, what was I talking about? Yeah, Jack Ryan, Shadow Crew. Kevin Costner in it. Always love to see Kevin Costner about. And it was all right. It was pretty watchable. But right at the end, Ben, right at the end of the film, I'm not going to give any spoilers, right at the end of the film, they're both stood outside the president's office, right? And you don't know who the president is. You don't get to see who the president is or anything like that. But Kevin Costner stands in front of Chris Pine and says, listen, Jack, when you go in there, just give the man facts. If he doesn't ask, he doesn't want to know. Serious, strong, proud. And it's like a big moment. There's music playing. Yeah. It's, you know, he's going to see the president. You can see he's nervous and anxious about it, but he's so proud of the things that he's done. And it just made me think, obviously they did that when Obama was in office. And they weren't saying it was Obama in there, but they were kind of playing up this presidency to be this glorious figure. And it made me think about Martin Short, Martin Sheen in The West Wing. You know, again, a very proud, smart, intelligent, clever, humble figure. And there's been loads of them portrayed in the White House in that way. But now, does that mean that we have to start changing films? So it's someone in the White House where they're all outside the office going, yeah, when you go in there, make a joke about boobs. And don't point out the dog that's in the corner that's been dead for 3 weeks.
Don't look him in the eye.
Don't look him in the eye. Oh, for the love of God, be born here. For the love of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be born here.
Like the did you see the Norwegian ex-prime minister?
Have I seen that one?
He basically got stopped coming out of America, and they looked at his passport and noticed that he'd been to Iran back in 2014, and not knowing who he was, and they detained him. And then about 3 hours later, they released him after the Norwegian government confirmed he was actually their ex-prime minister. And he'd been to Iran for talks.
See, the problem with... I mean, there's many problems. There's obviously... One of the problems is complex legislative action, right?
No,
if you ever work in an environment which has got really complex legislation in place, it's very confusing, right? So you've got madness at the top saying, let's just do this. All right, let's stop these people coming in. Which means the people right on the ground floor level that get all these instructions go, what? And they don't want to be fired. So they kind of take it to the extreme to go, well, I'm just going to have to be very careful. Because if I let someone through that then turns out to bomb America, all right, and he's from Norway, I'm going to have to, I'm going to get fired. And I can't get fired because I've got kids and I've got
I don't even know where Norway is.
Partner, I don't even know where Norway is. Furthest I've been on holiday is New York and I live in Brooklyn. So I've got so much sympathy for the people that are actually unfortunately doing this stuff at that bottom end. And it's just...
And that leads me to my final point in this feature that I didn't know we were going to do, but yeah. Then I thought, I might as well throw this in as well. Did you see Theresa May in Malta today, Marv?
No.
My goodness. She's there on an EU Prime Minister's, President's, Leaders Conference thing. And she's there. And she said, I'm going to be the bridge between Donald Trump and Europe. You know what Europe said? Don't bother.
Do one.
Don't even bother.
Don't build your bridge.
It's like, you know...
Theresa.
You know, there's all kinds of bridges that are proposed over the years. I remember when they were proposing a bridge to go from Broughton to Kersal. And people said, don't bother building that bridge. We're all right.
We're all right.
Now, I'm not going to say which side of the bridge I'm talking about there. Therefore, I keep on good.
You don't need to.
Kersal and Broughton are all good to me.
The story works without you saying it, Ben. That's the beauty of it. So that's this week's Who's Poo in a Lift? I'll go an octave up this time just to kind of bring balance to it.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Who's Poo in a Lift? Ready? Who's Poo in a Lift? Yes, who's Poo in a Lift? Yes, who's Let's find out now, Ben. Ben!
There's no point in me saying that last bit, because I am Ben.
Yeah, I agree, that's fine.
Now, I've sent you an email to Station, and it's in regards to a referee performance from last Sunday, because it's hilarious. Okay. It's two bits of the video, and I just want your reaction. I've given the time codes there, okay? Two penalty decisions given against FC United's women's team. The women's team won.
Okay.
The women's team won. It was at Stockport Counter. I went there. I was stood next to Neil Boo, who was filming away. And I had to control myself because, actually, he's filming and I don't want to come across on his audio. Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I thought, I'll stand away from Neil because this referee is another... It's a whole new level. A whole new level.
Right.
So two penalty shouts, two penalties given to Stockport. Judge for yourself, Marv, and I want you to walk us through it.
You want me to walk you through it? All right.
Well, not me, the listener, I was
there. Okay, fine, sorry. All right, FC United attacking the left wing, smashed across the front of the goal, number 10 brings it in, and number 20, here we go on the left, King just brings it inside the box. FC just knocking it around a little bit, playing it nice and casual, playing out from the back. Moving it forward to the halfway line, here comes number 4. Oh, and there's the whistle for the penalty, and it's... Looks like it's come off her knee. And, right, we are going to go back a little bit. So let's just... There they are, with the ball, just playing it around, into the penalty area. Penalty. Oh, wait, hang on, it can't... I thought it was Stockport County's player handballing it, but it's Stockport County getting a penalty.
Yes.
Well, let me rewatch this again, then.
You see why it's worth watching?
So, ladies and gentlemen, all right, there's a great side picture here. I don't know who's doing the filming. This
Neil
is really
Boo,
good.
Neil Boo, he's got three cameras.
Well done, Neil. He's put them in the perfect position. There's a great side shot of the pitch where there's the red number 10 and the blue number 7 stood next to each other, not touching. There's the number 20 and the number 9, shoulder to shoulder. They are touching, to be fair. And then there's the one that gets the ball, who's a number I can't see, who's kind of taking it, I think, onto a knee.
Yeah.
It's hitting her knee. And there's the red number 2 stood just behind her, just kind of, you know, keeping her jockeying. In place.
Jockeying,
exactly. But I wouldn't say there's really contact. If anything, she's just become part of her aura. She's suggested herself there, Ben.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of shouting in the background we can pick up. What's that for? Referee!
You might as well go straight to 1 minute 22. Anyway, Amy Gillingham in the FC United goal, she saved it.
She saved it?
Went off on the bar and it was a tap-in on the rebound.
Love the goal.
There's another goal from Jade Parker, one of the six. On the 8th minute. Only the 8th minute we're up to there, Ben. Hang on, where does this... Hang on, so when I'm going at 1 minute 22 whatever in...
In the video.
Yeah. How far into the game is this?
It's all in the first half. It's all like in the first...
Two of these penalties in the first half we're about to see.
About
all right.
The first 20 minutes.
All right, well, it looks like we're about to see it. That's the angriest referee I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm. He was fun.
She's got her arms in her back!
Marv?
Let me just review, see if she has got her arms in her back, Ben, if you wouldn't mind. Now... Let's be fair here. Stockport player, one arm behind her own back, trying to push away the FC player. Other arm, keeping balance out of the side, Ben. FC player behind that, one arm, almost round her waist, but not actually touching her, just again, keeping balance. Left arm interlinked with the player's arm behind from the Stockport. That's the position that we've got there. There is interlinkage.
I don't think there wouldn't... is.
No, there's interlinkage. I've paused it for a freeze frame, Ben. I've got it right here. All right, but I still wouldn't count that as a penalty because, as they say in the trade, it's six balls of one, half a dozen of two thirds. All right. I mean, the funniest thing about this is the repeating whistle, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if Neil's cut this together with comedy in mind, but if I don't stop it and I just play it through, it's absolutely hilarious. Oh dear.
She's got her arms in her back!
Anyway, Paul...
So angry about her having her arms in her back!
Poor Luke Podmore, our manager, got sent to the dressing room after...
She saved it again! The first half! Two penalties for nothing, and she saved both of them. How many goals did we score in the first half?
I think it was 2-1.
Stupid. Stupid game. Football is a stupid game. She's got her arms in her back! My wife left me!
Anyway, I just wanted to show you those. Because it's really good. It's really funny. Oh, it was better being there.
Right, before we go any further, people are going to be disappointed we've not played any music yet, but that's because...
We're only on for an hour.
We're only on for an hour, so we've got to crack through things here, ladies and gentlemen.
P! Mrs. P!
P.
Just
shout
her name.
Cheryl!
Cheryl, I know we go on and on about it when your husband gets in touch, but you know what? Ben and I, we had a little chat before we came on the air. He said, you know, it'd be nice if we got an email from Cheryl because we like Cheryl more than Pete. Because even though we've never met Cheryl, look at you like a proud eagle. And I'm pretty sure I've used eagle as an analogy for your husband before, but you know what? That doesn't make just makes it more beautiful. Two eagles soaring over the city of Manchester. Staring down at Ben and Marv as we shout, all right, Cheryl!
Cheryl!
Anyway, I'll get to the point. Hello, Ben and Marv. I'd just like to say a big thank you. Even though I'm unable to answer many of the questions, I am really enjoying the quiz part of your show. Lots of love. Cheryl! Now, Cheryl chooses to not finish with an acronym, Ben, unlike her husband.
That is disappointing.
So we can only use Cheryl as her acronym, Ben. So that's C-H-E-R-Y-L, C-H-E-R...
C-H-E-R-Y-L,
Cheryl.
Could Henry...
Why have you changed from Harry to Henry?
This is a Sunday name. Could Henry ever relax your... love?
Could Henry ever relax your love? Could Henry ever relax your love? Could Henry ever relax your love? pretty sure it's a dirty joke about a Hoover. Pretty sure it's what that is, Ben. Could Henry the Hoover ever relax your love? What have you got to say about yourself? But in beautiful dedication to Cheryl, before getting in touch, we are going to have a quiz this morning.
Wow.
And the great news about it, Ben, is it's a Cheryl quiz.
Cheryl quiz. Get your pens and paper ready, people, because we're having a quiz.
There you go, there's some of that.
Do you want me to write on your new management
team? Yeah, you can write on the new management team. You can write wherever you like. Are you ready for 8 questions about Cheryl, Ben?
Okay.
Here we go. Question 1. From which country in the United Kingdom does the name Cheryl originate? Cheryl. Question 2, Ben. Did the name Cheryl first appear in the 18th century, the 19th century, or the 20th century? Century. Question 3, Ben. Cheryl James was half of which duo who released Let's Talk About Sex in 1990? Question 4, Ben. How many points would you get in Scrabble for playing Cheryl, not including bonus squares? Bonus. And question 5. Other than Cheryl Cole, name any other famous Cheryl. Question 6.
Cheryl or Cheryl?
Cheryl. What? What?
There's two ways of spelling Cheryl.
Give me the both of them.
One's with an S, one's with a C.
Cheryl with an S?
Yeah.
That's crackers. All right, if you can name me a famous Cheryl with an S, all right, we'll take that. Why not? It's ridiculous. Question number 6, Ben. When you type Cheryl is a into Google,
Can I do it?
No. Oh. Which of these comes up top of Google search history, Ben? Is it A, Cheryl is a bank teller? Is it B, Cheryl is a saint name? Is it C, Cheryl is a nice name? Or is it D, Cheryl is a bad name? Oh dear, bad name. Question 7. Cheryl Ladd played Chris Munro in which American crime drama TV series from 1976 to 1981? American crime drama. And finally, Ben, question 8. Fill in the blanks from this paragraph from urbandictionary.com when you type in the name Cheryl. A person of true beauty. A girl with such a kind personality that anyone will simply fall in love with. A Cheryl will help anyone out without hesitation. They have trusting blanks and large blanks. Is it or is it not the best quiz we've ever done? I basically said, name a famous Cheryl. Got some euphemisms in there. You don't know who did Let's Talk About Sex in 1990. That's ridiculous. Anyway, we can go on, but we don't have time. We are going to play a song this morning, at least one. And one of the ones I'll play is something that Ingrid shared with me this week. You remember Ingrid, of course?
Yes, the singer.
From our Sellotape series. And she sent me a thing saying, this kind of style she thinks I'd really like. It's someone called Eddie Jefferson, who I'd never come across before, who's a jazz pianist and a singer. And he's got some great stuff on there, and hopefully we'll get a chance to play a few of his this morning. But this is one. It's called Benny's from Heaven. It's Eddie Jefferson. We'll be back in just a moment with the answers to this morning's Cheryl quiz and the return of CSI Shindig.
I
kid you not.
What?
It's back.
What are you doing?
CSI Shindig is back.
Is it a repeat?
I finally come up, Ben, with a doable idea by myself. It's gonna be great.
Thanks for asking.
What?
I've got all kinds of ideas.
What?
I've got all kinds of
ideas. Where have they been?
They've been on my fridge.
Well, you should have brought them through, shouldn't you? Eddie Jefferson, Benny's from Heaven, we'll be back in just a moment.
A long time ago, a second lieutenant named Spears returned to the States after staying overseas 3 years. His wife said, "Welcome home, dear. But since you've been gone, you see, we've been blessed with a darling baby, and a cute little one is he."
Okay, Ben, question 1 on the special Cheryl quiz. I asked you, from which country in the United Kingdom does the name Cheryl originate?
Northern Ireland?
It's not the correct answer, Ben. It's Wales. Oh. Wales is the correct answer. Number two, Ben. Did the name Cheryl first appear in the 18th century, the 19th century, or the 20th century?
20th.
Talk me through your thinking.
I just thought it's so random, I'll say the 20th.
20th is the correct answer, Ben. Yeah, question three. Cheryl R. James, was half of which duo who released Let's Talk About Sex in 1990?
Now, I've not written anything down. I'm going to freestyle from here on in. Was it something to do with biscuits or baking?
Baking?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Food related. Yeah. Condiments, Ben, you might say.
Salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper. That's right, salt and pepper. She was salt, Ben. Good to know, isn't it? Question four. How many points would you get in Scrabble if you played Cheryl? Now, of course, Cheryl's a proper noun, so it wouldn't be permitted, but this is some kind of fantasy-based Scrabble game just for all you geeks that are listening out there.
25.
Now, tell me through your point system.
I've just randomly guessed.
Well, tell me through your point system, if you're going to randomly do it. Which points are going to which letters?
C, that's a big score.
That's a big score, right.
H is moderate.
Moderate, right.
E is one.
Right.
R is three.
R is a three, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah. And the Y is worth a lot. It's worth 15.
15 points for Y.
And the L is just standard, isn't it? About five, I reckon.
Right. So. C is a three, Ben. H is a four. Mm-hmm. E is a one. That's the only one you got right. R is a one. Y is a four again, and L is a one. That comes up to 14 points, Ben.
So not 25.
Not 25. That's a halfway point, Ben. What's your scores?
2-0. 2-2.
2-2, right. Thank you very much. Other than Cheryl Cole, name any other famous Cheryl.
Crow.
You going with that, Cheryl? Of course. And I did permit it, didn't I? I did say it was all right. And I didn't see Cheryl Crow coming, so I've got to give you the point. Fair enough, Ben. Yeah, well done. Question six. When you type Cheryl is A into Google, which of these comes top of the Google search history, Ben? Is it Cheryl is a bank teller, Cheryl is a saint name, Cheryl is a nice name, or Cheryl is a bad name?
Nice name.
It's bank teller. That's the top one. Cheryl is a bank teller, oddly enough. Question seven, Ben. Cheryl Ladd played Chris Monroe in which American crime drama TV series from 1976 to 1981?
TJ Hooker.
TJ Hooker, you're saying? William Shatner?
Yeah.
We're not really remembering any main female stars in that one.
Oh, Cagliostro.
Actually a woman in that. No. It's Charlie's Angels, I'm afraid. Charlie's Angels, correct answer. Ben, finally, fill in the blanks. From UrbanDictionary.com, when I typed in the name Cheryl into its search function. Sounds crude, but I did it. Did it for you, Cheryl. Ben, obviously, I'm sorry for having to pause the quiz there, but you know I had to get to
it. Yeah, I'm aware of the convention.
Fill in the blanks, Ben. A person of true beauty. A girl with such a kind personality that anyone will simply fall in love with. A Cheryl will help out anyone without hesitation. They have trusting blanks and large blanks, Ben. Fill in the blanks.
Eyes.
They have trusting
eyes.
Eyes and large
ears.
Large ears, you think? It's quite random at the end, isn't it?
Well, it was going so well, and then I think the writer. It's Urban Dictionary, isn't it? I mean,
it is, yeah.
Yeah, I think they went for a nice, you know, romantic way of saying Cheryl is this, that, and the other. And then I think at the end they bottled it.
Well, I mean, eyes is quite nice. Trusting eyes.
Yeah. But then they went, oh, that's too nice. Ears.
Large ears. Mm-hmm. Right.
Fingers.
What's your final answer?
Hands.
Pete, just so you know, mate, when you next get in touch, you can send us an email letting us know which of these is true. And you cannot tell Cheryl and get us to read it out in that whispered voice. Yeah? And she'll never know, mate. It's just between us. That's the beautiful thing about it. Or Cheryl, of course, you get in touch and tell us what's big about Pete. It's a strange game to play with a couple we've never met, whose kids listen to the programme.
It's a bit weird.
And someone, but you know, people poo in lifts these days, Ben, so whatever. So you're saying large
eyes.
Sorry, trusting
eyes.
And large
hands.
The correct answer, Ben, is they have trusting blue eyes.
Okay,
well
yeah,
done.
Yeah, yeah.
And large bosoms.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not hands.
Not hands. The answer is bosoms, Ben. What's your final score?
I lost count. I got Pete.
That's a shame.
6-2. So, dear listener at home, this is a very, very special day in the history of FC United. It's Saturday, just in case you're listening on Monday and Tuesday. You're too late! It was Saturday, as you're, of course, aware.
I don't know if you're introducing the Austrian thing or CSI Shindig. At this point,
the Austrian thing. So today we welcome SV Austria Salzburg to Broadhurst Park for an international friendly like no other. Never has a match been played between FC United and SV Austria Salzburg. And never before has the pressure been put on my right honourable colleague across the table here to come up with something of international statesman quality. We live in a time now where the term statesman is a vulgar term. We no longer like that. We like people who present quiz shows to do the statesmanship stuff. So I thought Marv would be good as a quiz show host.
I do that.
Therefore, Marv is the perfect person to welcome our Austrian friends this afternoon.
So, let it be made
clear. Oh, I can speak German.
I speak German, not Austrian. There are minor differences for those uncultured, those amongst you. For example, Ben, the word in German for two is zwei, mm-hmm. and in Austrian it's pronounced zwei.
But you knew that, so.
That's the only one I know, Ben. So I'm going to be doing this in pretty straight German from the Hamburg region, Ben. That's my finest accent. So there's that to be aware of. And, of course, the fact that I've not really spoken German properly for 17 years. So, when you have to think about it, it's a bad thing, isn't it?
And this is going to be podcasted, so forever available. Go on, Marv, welcome him.
Oh, let's give it a go.
There, he thrice played the Austrian national anthem and was carried back to his bed.
What's this, Marv?
Early the next morning,
Marv?
Papa Haydn.
It seems to be the story of Haydn. It's called the Austrian National Anthem, and it seems to have that in the background. You can just hear it, but clearly I've gone with the wrong one, so let's try something else. How about this? Guten Tag. Willkommen aus Manchester. Wie geht's? Ah, das ist great. Great, I've gone very early. Das ist fantastisch. Aber wir willkommen Sie aus Manchester für ein Spiel Fußball, wo wir können trinken gegangen oder gegessen gegangen.
Hot dogs.
Heiße
Pine Peas.
Heiße Pine What's Pea. A dog? I know a dog.
What is a dog?
Katze und Hund. Heißer Hund in a bun.
Bam.
Bam. Wir können Fußball spielen und dann wir können Pie and Peas gegessen.
With mint sauce.
Auch mint sauce. Komm in Manchester. Sie können aus der City gehen und aus Kino gehen. Wo vielleicht
Rain?
Das regnet. Enjoy.
Should work for the Tories board with stuff like that, man.
It's tricky just doing all
this. I think he did well.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really well.
Okay. Thanks, mate.
Now, dear listener at home, a long time ago, a famous documentary filmmaker came along to Castlefield one day to see what all the fuss was about. What is this noise that I'm hearing on the internet? I've been on Friends Reunited and MySpace, and somebody keeps talking about this radio drama, this seminal piece of audio work. And my MySpace account is just lit up. Anyway, that filmmaker went home very disappointed because he heard the show and thought that's rubbish. But we're stuck with it, and it's back for a second series. It can only mean one thing, Marv.
What's that, Ben?
Tell us all about it.
It's the return of CSI Shindig,
everybody.
That's
right, everyone.
What?
It's back.
What? It's back. That's right. Once we got a tweet about 10 weeks ago, I said, what happened to CSI Shindig? And since that point, Marv's not been able to get out of his brain that because one person out there asked for it.
It was in the toilet, actually.
In the toilet? They asked for it. And brought us back. Not even someone that listens regularly. Just probably once heard an episode of it and went, that was weird. Don't get that on radio too. Brilliant. I imagine that's what it was. We're going to bring back a whole series. And Ben, you'll be thrilled to know.
Yeah.
I've written the series, so
You storyboarded it.
I've done it. It's there. It's not recorded all yet, Ben, but the story is there, and that's what's important, Ben, because you know, therefore, I'm not making this up week to week. There is a plot line. There's a plan to this,
Ben. There was a plan to the first series.
No, there wasn't.
Oh, man.
We just went online and found random sound effects and made a computer voice. You know that.
And a South African impression.
It was all good, Ben. I'm not taking away from it. But still, I was presented with the same problem, Ben, this time that I had the first time round. How do I make a compelling drama with just one guy, Ben?
You got in my voice. Finger.
What?
You got the girl who sang Eye of the Tiger. What was her name?
The girl that sang Eye of the Tiger?
She's done... Ben, your head is so big. That girl.
Oh, Louisa?
Yeah,
she lives in London now, Ben.
Oh.
So I'm flying solo, Ben. So what on earth do I do with just one person speaking? Ben, don't try guessing. Don't try guessing.
Okay.
You'll just have to listen and find out what happens when we bring back CSI Shindig, episode number one! Hello? 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 Can anyone hear me? I can't see anything. Hello? I can't. What's that smell? Ben? Hello? Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
I recognize that voice. Who is that?
Why, Marv? Of course it's me. Marv.
No!
Oh, there's someone pooing the lift.
It's back! It's back!
Everyone's saying the same thing, Marv.
What are they saying,
They
Ben?
Can't wait for Cockers to come back next week.
And say...
Previously on CSI Shindig.
That's right, I can't wait for it either, Ben. That's basically the only reason I've reintroduced the whole thing. So tell us what you think, Ben. What do you think? You know, let's analyse the episode. What do you think's going on?
I don't think about it.
So what do you think about the production values, first of all?
Well, in the first 5 seconds, I have to admit, I was pretty worried.
Sure.
I thought to myself...
what's going on here?
Yeah, this could go a bit weird. But then you started speaking, and then it all became clear that you were trapped in some kind of sewage system. Maybe the sewage system from the film The Fugitive, where he was stuck in that dam.
Okay.
And then he jumped out of that tube, and clearly the person falling was not Harrison Ford, but a mannequin.
Sure. It was the 90s, Ben.
True. But remember, Mav, they spent all that money on that train crash. Right, and one of the best stunts ever performed by an actor.
And that's why it was a mannequin.
What, they couldn't afford two stunts?
Yeah, that was the risk weigh-up they made, Ben, in the conscious triangle.
Wow, he jumped out of a bus while a train hit the bus. And this was before computer graphics, Marv.
I got something for you.
Oh, you got something for me. We're coming up in a second or two. We are going to be handing over to the FC Live team for the reserve coverage this afternoon. 2 o'clock kickoff as FC United and Manchester's reserves play Hyde United reserves. And as it's the reserves, myself and Stato Paul will be commentating because we are the reserves of the FC Live team. Kind of fitting, really, in a way. In a second or two, we're going to have the media review, though, of course, as well.
Of course. Yes. Absolutely, yes. Now, Ben, I was in a really particular corporate situation today and I wrote down some key phrases because I thought you'd like to hear them.
Please.
I'm not going to tell you what they are. You can have a guess if you like.
Okay.
By the way, how do you explain that Marv's with Marv?
I just figured you banged your head and it was some kind of amnesia thing.
Okay. We'll find out next week, maybe. Who knows? Episode 2 of CSI Shindig. Oh, it's exciting, everybody, isn't it? Probably release it as some kind of podcast. Anyway, Ben, here's some key phrases that... Because you've not been in the corporate environment for a while and I know you like to hear...
I do like it.
...where we're up to. So, complexity matrix.
Complexity matrix? Mm. How hard is something?
No. You plot, Ben, the known versus the unknown.
But what if you don't know what the unknown is?
It's tricky then, isn't it? What's the definition of done?
Completed, finished.
They wrote DOD up on the board and I went date of death.
Date of delivery.
And they said date of delivery would have been better probably, yeah. But no, it's the definition of done, Ben. The cone of uncertainty. Not making this up. Genuinely, you can Google these things.
The cone of uncertainty.
The cone of uncertainty, Ben. There's a job out there.
I've got it. There's always a cone somewhere that's been misplaced, and you think to yourself, how did that get there? Is that the thing?
Yeah, sure, why not? Let's go with that, yeah.
I saw a cone in our son's children's playground.
Right.
Just there.
And you thought to yourself...
Not our son's, my
thought
son's.
Yourself, that cone looks a little bit uncertain.
Yeah, what is he doing there?
What else have we got here? There's a job, which I learned about today. It's an actual job that people can get in an office environment called Scrum Master.
Scrum Master? What does that mean?
Oh, I can't be bothered telling you. Here's some more lines. Ready?
Yeah.
Planning is essential.
Certainly is.
But useless.
Why is it useless?
I think that... I'm not going to take you through it. There's also Moscow.
I'm fine for another half an hour.
Ben, you don't understand what Moscow is.
Huh?
Must or should or could or would. Moscow. Is it a must-do task? Is it a should-do task? Is it a could-do task? Or is it a would-do task?
A Moscow.
Moscow. Here's one you'll like. And this is, again, not making it up. When you pitch scope against cost and time, Ben, and then obviously you end up with quality in the centre, that's called...
It's got a technical name, hasn't it?
What's it called?
I can't remember the name of it.
The Iron Triangle, Ben.
That's not right.
It's the Iron Triangle.
That's not right.
It's the Iron Triangle.
It's got a mathematical name. We did it in...
You're talking about speed versus distance over time. That's a completely separate thing. What I'm talking about is scope, cost and time, Ben.
Is there a triangle in the middle?
At one point, the trainer today said the phrase, people just can't be trusted. I wrote that down.
Well, they can't. I mean, that's why we're out of Europe.
Yeah. And I was thinking about people can't be trusted. And while he was saying this, there was one of these people sitting next to me in the thing that was just furiously writing down everything. Everything the person was saying, everything they were writing on the board.
Well, you. You were doing it for a radio show.
Yeah, exactly. That's the difference. They were doing it to remember things. So they wrote down the phrase, people just can't be trusted. And I thought to myself, that's what Trump's done. This is what's happening in the world. Sound bites. And that person won't really remember the context of that. They'll go back to their desk, reread their notes at some point and go, oh. It's like Memento, the film Memento.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, people can't be trusted. Oh, my God. Oh, that's right. I can't trust anyone. Let's get out of Europe. And the final phrase, Ben, which I'd like you to guess what my response was when the people said this. I misinterpreted the level of our relationship. I will admit that. They said, you've got to be the master of your tools. I said...
I'll master your tools.
Correct answer, Ben.
Oh, we're so immature.
Really good day. Anyway.
Just a quick mention for the media review before we go.
Got plenty of time.
Well, Doctor Who is...
That's out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We've got no more time to talk about anything,
Peter Capaldi's leaving Doctor Who, Marv.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's announced that this is his last series. And therefore...
The last time they got Peter Capaldi, didn't they cut away from like, the halftime draw, the FA Cup draw or something like that?
Something like that. It was weird.
It was a strange...
It was straight after the one show, I think, or in between EastEnders or something. Okay. Oh, no, it wasn't between a football match.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You're right. I think it was an FA Cup match.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Anyway, people are saying that it should be a female doctor. I'm not one of those people. I think, no, it should be as you'd imagine Doctor Who to be.
What?
A grey-haired old man.
Sure.
I never liked a young man doing it. Although I do want Matt Smith to come back.
Do you come from the school of thought that if you ruddy women want your own ruddy doctor show, then why do you go and make your own doctor show, you ruddy silly women? Is that the... You can call it Doctress Who if you want.
The bookies have come up with a list of potential female...
There's so many women coming around doing doctors. The jobs of our men.
Lara Pulver, yeah. Who played Thingy in Sherlock...
I really hope my sarcasm comes across.
Saran Jones.
Yeah.
Who played Dr. Foster.
Isn't Serrano a kind of ham?
Vicky McClure, who was in Line of Duty.
Isn't cure something you can do to a ham?
We've got other people as well.
Okay.
But I think the next doctor should be Ben Whishaw.
But you said he's young. You said you wanted someone old and grey-haired. You are just going to gauge yourself. I don't want a woman in it, but all right, I'll have a younger lad.
And that's all I've got.
Right. Is that it?
But I've not really researched it, Marv. I didn't think we'd be on for this long.
We've done very well.
We have done very well.
Thank goodness I prepared so much, because what have you brought? One story about Doctor Who.
I brought the women's team highlights.
And the women's team highlights. That's it. Which, to be fair, Ben, it's a pretty visual-based thing for an audio programme, isn't it?
That's true.
It's true, isn't it?
It's very true.
I've been working on my Donald Trump impression.
Oh, go on then.
Let me see if I can get in it. I can't do it with this music on because no, I could. I could. Yeah.
It's now time for the Shindig Breakfast Show. Donald Trump Fart of the Week.
Oh, I was so close to be able to do it earlier. I was trying to fake up a conversation that you shared on Facebook this week, which was basically sounded like the Australian Prime Minister going, all right there, Mr. And every sentence he started saying, Trump was going, okay, let me just stop you there. And it was just horrific by the sounds of it. And yes, to be fair to the Australian press, they did a fairly good job of saying, now, to be fair, no one was in the room. All right, we don't know this for sure. This is just word of mouth, but we're pretty sure it happened. And you can see it, can't you? You can really see it.
You can really see it.
I'm going to keep working on it, Ben, because I keep announcing I'm getting close to it. And in the privacy of my own flat, I am getting close to it.
And that was the Donald Trump Fart of the Week. Is that what you're after?
Why not? Now, Ben, now! It's Donald Trump. Hey, I pooed in your lift.
Can I just say something? If you are tuning in from Austria...
I'm going to build a wall around it.
If you are tuning in from Austria to today's coverage...
Guten Tag, willkommen aus Manchester.
They're here now, actually. I've seen a picture of them all having at the beer festival that's taking place. All this weekend, by the way, we should say. All the Austrian fans are there. There's about 400 of them.
4 million of them?
400, Marvin. Oh, right, we've stopped the Donald Trump impressions. Hey!
There you go.
Come on.
Anyway, it's been a delight, everyone. Just an hour show this week. Shindig, shindig. Kept it brief. Shindig. Short and sweet.